Good morning, 7:37 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us now, we have Chris Smith. He is the owner of Gulf Coast Gun in Milton. When you're driving down Highway 90 and you look over and you see that big old shop with all the gun signs, including the black silhouettes of those big, beautiful, so-called ugly black guns on the roof, that's his shop. Chris, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you. I listen to you talk a bunch when I see your presentations in the county commission meetings, and I always think you have interesting things to say. And as far as, you know, loving the Second Amendment, I'm not sure there's anybody who loves it more than you, which is why I wanted to have you on. Because some of the things that President Biden has proposed, we were talking about this a little bit last week, but I wanted to just get more clarity. So let's kind of start with a couple of these proposals. The ghost gun proposal, the idea of being able to buy guns that don't have any serial number in their parts and then assemble them yourself. Can you maybe just take a minute and tell people what is the law right now and how would things change if his proposal went into effect?
Right now, you can buy 80% lowers, and you have to drill them yourself. You have to assemble them yourself, and it's perfectly legal. The thing is what they're mad about is there were kits being sold, but anyone with a CNC machine can build their own firearm. And so banning ghost guns will not do anything to protect anyone or get any guns out of dangerous people's hands, because they're always going to be able to find a way to build their own firearm if they really want to, just like they can purchase their own firearm if they really wanted to.
Okay, so this is a talking point, not really a practical distinction, because the people who know how to assemble a gun would be able to figure out a way to assemble one regardless of the legality of purchasing online a so-called ghost gun kit or an 80% lower. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Everything that he proposed last week was a talking point. None of it would do anything to stop any sort of gun violence or deaths or anything else.
What about the pistol stabilizers issue? Now, I know this is a very complicated topic, but the way I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, is they want to reclassify a short barrel AR style, like a, you know, a 223 weapon that you could attach to your arm to stabilize it to be fired with one hand. They want to reclassify that as a short barrel rifle, which would bring it under some of the federal firearms bans or restrictions anyway. Who uses these guns, and what would the effect be if they managed to accomplish this? What would it change in terms of the people who actually buy these guns' lives?
There are a lot of people that buy pistols with braces. The thing is they buy them for novelty. At no point does a shorter barrel make your gun more accurate or more dangerous. It actually makes it more inaccurate. In a 5.56 or 223, if it's not a 10-inch barrel, then the gun is very inaccurate anyway. And who would want to make a gun less accurate to begin with? But what they're trying to do is put these pistols with a brace on the NFA list, which, if they're so dangerous and they're so scared of them, why aren't they trying to ban them? Why are they trying to put them on an NFA list? All that happens on an NFA list is you pay a $200 tax stamp. You go through the same background check that you would if you were purchasing the gun from my shop. It just takes longer because the ATF does the background check and not the FBI NICS system or the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Depends on background checks depend on your state, but at the end of the day, they all go through the FBI NICS system. So they're not actually doing a different background check. They're not actually taking more steps. They're just charging you $200 to be able to purchase this.
Okay, so if the gun is more dangerous in a way that justifies regulation, then you'd move it into the category with a machine gun, as opposed to just adding a tax cost to it, which raises the difficulty of acquiring it and basically means that only people that have the disposable income can buy it rather than people actually qualify because they're better citizens. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It just puts another tax on it and makes it harder to get for people with lower incomes.
Well, so back to the pistol stabilizer, which is kind of what we're talking about anyway. What about the argument that is made that if you have a pistol stabilizer, it's easier to conceal this gun? Now, I think I know the answer to this, but you've got a gun that's firing a more dangerous round, the 223, even though it's less accurate with a short barrel, it's still a more dangerous round than, say, a 9mm. What about the argument that, hey, that short barrel AR style, okay, is easier to conceal under a coat And when you pull it out and it's got the pistol stabilizer on it, it's more able to be used than something else that somebody might not be able to conceal as well. Even though the tax issue aside, what would you say to that argument?
It's not easier to conceal. Anybody that's ever had that's bought a pistol with a brace or an SBR. I mean, I currently own a couple of SBRs myself. I had to pay the $200 tax stamp just like everyone
else.
That's
a short barrel rifle for people who don't know the acronyms. Go ahead.
Short barrel rifle, yes. But, I mean, if you compare one to a rifle, when you collapse the stock on the rifle, you're saving, 4 inches most of the time. It's absurd. These are all talking points. And actually, I mean, the only reason they're talking about this one this time is because one person used a pistol with a brace.
Mm-hmm.
That same person would have done just as much damage with a rifle. They just try to inch away at our Second Amendment right every single time they get an opportunity to. And this is just another opportunity for them to do that.
And again, you correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea of a concealable rifle, short barrel rifle with a pistol stabilizer, well, the way you would conceal something would be to have it under your coat. But if your arms are out, you're going to have to take a moment to do the attaching of it with the pistol stabilizer. So in that time frame, it's not concealable. I mean, it's actually a fairly slow process to bring that into functional status, right?
Yes. And I mean, honestly, there's not – honestly, the .223 and .556 is not more dangerous than the 9mm. They say that it's a higher capacity magazine. It's not. I can get a 50-round drum on just about any pistol that I wanted to.
Right.
And the higher the capacity, the heavier the gun's going to be, the harder the gun is to use, the harder the gun, it's less accurate because it is harder to use, the more likely to have failures to feed on the firearm. Honestly, there's no way I would put these huge high-capacity magazines in my firearm if I was using them to save my life or for some reason other than just going out to the range and having a good time with it.
Yeah, right. And because, the higher capacity ones, you have a higher failure rate. The spring is, has to be bigger to push all of those bullets up. I mean, they're not really, there's a reason that the military doesn't use these. It's because they don't work as
Absolutely.
Well. One of the arguments that comes up quite frequently is the magazine size. As you said, the big magazines are not all that reliable anyway, but they'll say a 10-round magazine, whether for a pistol or for a rifle, is always adequate for any need. 20 or a 30, or like in the case of a Glock 19, a 17 round that the side by side. What would your response be to people who say that you don't need anything more than 10 rounds ever?
Well, I mean, police officers get into situations where they have to have 30 rounds to fire into them. No one knows how many rounds you're ever going to need until you're in a certain situation. So how could someone come out and say that, oh, you only need 10 rounds? Well, if three home invaders come into your home and you've never been in this situation before, I mean, your adrenaline takes over. They say that your mind gets cloudy. So how do you know that you're only going to need 10 rounds? And about the time I have to reload, I have to put another magazine in my firearm, that could cost me my life or cost one of my kids their life at that point. So 10 rounds is just absurd. At the end of the day, these are all talking points. They just want to control us. And the fact that they don't actually, if they wanted to save lives, then they would stop other things. Guns only, I think it registers about 25th on the things that kill most Americans. 30 to 40,000 people are killed by guns every year. Half of those are suicides. See, that's a mental issue at that point.
Right.
So you take that down to 15 to 20,000 people are killed by guns every year. You're more likely to die from falling than you are from gun violence.
Yeah,
it's a proven fact. You can look it up.
Yeah, the issue of suicide
is certainly.
If you're
Joe Biden, you're probably 10 times more likely to die from falling, but that's a different conversation. But it's not about saving lives. There's 250,000 people die every year from medical malpractice. 600,000 people a year die from heart disease. I think it's around that same number for cancer. So if they were actually interested in saving lives, they'd be looking at things like that. Car accidents cause just as many deaths as gun violence. So
hey, Chris.
It's really about control.
Yeah,
yes,
one of the,
I'm sorry.
In terms of the magazine size, I actually was thinking that the Oakwood terrorist shooting was one of those situations where, you know, if I've got a 10-round magazine, I've got to be really, really good in order to defend myself in a situation against four armed gunmen. 17, at least I've got a chance, or 30 or something. I mean, just, you know, you'd have that handy. But last question I wanted to ask you about is it's just the ammunition shortage. Why is there – it's still on, right? Like, it's hard to find ammunition, and even guns, too. But why ammunition is still short?
So you have to take into account that there were 50 million households that owned firearms before the pandemic started.
Mm-hmm.
They added about 10 million households, which is about two per household. So 100 million people have been buying ammunition in bulk since March of 2020. There's no industry that could hold a rush like that. And they're still buying ammunition. It hasn't stopped. The manufacturers cannot keep up. And the reason you're not seeing it in the big box stores is because they have contracts at lower prices. The big box stores are trying to get their fill of ammunition from Federal and CCI and places like that at these lower contracts that they signed 2 and 3 years ago. Well, these companies with their shortage are not selling them as much. So you're not seeing it in the big box stores. Stores like mine have had ammunition on the shelf almost the entire year, and that's because we're going out and paying higher prices for it.
I got you.
You know, it's there's still a shortage out there. They have to change over their lines to do a different caliber. So once they change over their lines to do a certain caliber, 9mm gets harder to get, or 380 gets harder to get. You'll see a little run of 38 Special or 357, but at the end of the day, they're just trying to catch up. I mean, 100 million people went out and bought 100 boxes of ammunition in a year's time. That's a killer on an industry.
No, that makes sense. Well, that helps. I mean, it's kind of I kept wondering, why does it continue? But as you say, more people are buying guns, and more people who have guns are buying more ammunition for a variety of reasons, and it's just basic economics. Chris Smith, Gulf Coast gun owner. Chris, hey, thanks for the time, man. Really interesting stuff. I certainly appreciate it. I know as you're getting your family ready for school and all that stuff this morning, but thank you so much for the time, man.
That's all right. Thank you for having me, Andrew. Also, I want to say if anybody wants to check out any more gun laws, we do a live Facebook and YouTube show every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. called The Gun Show. So
oh, nice.
Check it out on Gulf Coast Guns Facebook page.